The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. No one else will do.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" He's also said concerning believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me they can be trusted in this life?" So whether you're an unbeliever or a believer, I think there's some key points there that you might want to think about. See whether you want to change direction at all. Today we're continuing the teaching on seven components of drawing close to the Almighty Creator. This is part seven. And we're looking at component four, cleansing. This is a continuation of the teaching last week. Give a little bit more context to this. One of the key parts of my message is that the Almighty wants to develop a friendship with any person who's willing. And he has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me." Please think about that. It's a huge opportunity. So tonight we're going to look at seven components of drawing close to the Almighty Creator. We're going to look at cleansing continued. We're going to look at the fact that the Ten Commandments define the basis of sin. We'll briefly look at all the commandments. We'll look at how repenting of sin opens the door to get rid of demons. We'll talk about some other personal demons. We'll talk about the mark of the beast, and we'll talk a bit about cleansing your dwelling. If you truly want to draw close to Father, it is vital that you get free of demons, both on your person and in your dwelling. Bit of introduction. Who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering. I have 26 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March, 1993. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email, articles, websites, this radio program, and shortly physical books. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website, www.endtimeissueministries.org, for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. Some questions from last week's program. What did you do for him to speak to you? I shared on the program that the event that turned my life around, I was in a locked hotel room and the Almighty spoke to me audibly, as clearly as you can hear me now. And at that moment, I knew that he existed. How did I get him to speak to me? Well, I didn't. I was in sin. I'd been in adultery. I'd had to split up with my mistress. And I was in a hotel room trying to figure out what had gone wrong with my life and looking for a way to kill myself. My parents had been praying for me, interceding for me. They knew that I was in a desperate place, and I believe in response to their prayers, the Almighty spoke to me. So it's always important for others to be praying for you. I can't give you a recipe for this sort of thing to happen. It needs somebody to be praying. It could be you. You could ask Father to give you a clear sign that he exists. And if you do it meekly and humbly, there's a good possibility that he will grant your petition. Question number two. How are we to know what to believe? Well, that's a challenging one. The answer is to get close to Father. And part of that is to see what works and what doesn't work. If you read, visit my website and listen to these teachings, I think that over time you will come to a place where you decide either that what I'm teaching you is correct or it's not correct. I found as I went down this journey that increasingly I just somehow knew when I had truth from the Almighty. Very difficult to describe. The key thing is to seek a close relationship with you. And last week we talked at some length what you should do in order to develop a close relationship with Father. Point number three, can we really pray things away? Yes, we can pray and get rid of demons. We can pray and cut off curses or ask Father to cut off curses. If one is in a close relationship with the Almighty, one can ask all sorts of things and he will grant your prayers and he will do things. So, for example, Noah prayed for judgment on the earth because of the sin of the people, and Father brought the flood. Fairly dramatic example, but Father will do great things in response to people who are really close to him. But you do need to be getting close to him. If you're just sitting there and really not doing much, it's not going to happen. How do you remove the cursed things from a building? Well, we're going to start talking about that tonight. And we'll talk about it a bit more next week. Then some feedback that I have. Why do we have to give Yah permission? Because of the contest between Yah and Satan, it was agreed that neither Yah nor Satan could speak directly to a human being and give that human being new insight or direction. They have to work through other human beings, or the human being concerned has to ask for the Almighty to speak to them or to do something in their lives. We've talked a bit about this in a couple of previous programs. I was also asked to explain why we anoint with oil and what the significance of that is. The oil symbolically represents the anointing of the Spirit of the Almighty. It's traditionally olive oil, and it's used extensively in the Middle East to anoint people to deal with the effects of extreme heat. And so just by praying over the oil to represent the oil of the Spirit of the Almighty, symbolically, that allows us to obtain a fresh impartation of the anointing Spirit of the Almighty. Just to confirm that I made this point last time, but it apparently wasn't entirely clear, I would like to confirm that women should never shave their heads. Men can shave their heads under certain circumstances. And I just like to, in the context of all of this, I'd just like to say, don't play games with the Almighty. Take him really seriously, and he will take you really seriously. So we're looking at seven components of drawing close to the Almighty Creator, and it's vital to understand how corrupt this world is and how much the forces of darkness, the satanic and demonic realm, are in control of the earth. If one is ignorant of this, one cannot hope to really walk in victory in this life. This series of programs seeks to address in detail the measures that one can take to overcome the corrupt state of the environment in which we are forced to operate. It is vital that you give the Almighty permission to work in your life and to teach you. Otherwise, you will remain in massive error and be defeated at the end of your life. cleansing is a critical component of this. It's really important to understand that Father cannot do anything in your life or my life unless we pray prayers that give him permission to act and to intervene, or unless somebody close to us is praying such prayers. But fundamentally, to really grow close to Father, you have to decide you want to get close to him. You need to pray the prayers, do the fasts, go through the processes that I outlined last week, and just work at it. There is no simple solution. It's like all things in life. If it's worth getting, it's going to take a bit of effort. So we're talking about cleansing. At this point, my focus is on the vast majority of people who either been unbelievers in mainstream society, who have been nominal believers but doing little of substance. At the same time, if you are a mature anointed believer of many years standing who has never cleansed yourself and you're dwelling in the way described in these teachings, then these practices are entirely applicable to you as well. There is absolutely no reason why, if you've been a believer for 10 or 20 or 30 years, you cannot go through the processes that I talked about last week. And in fact, I would strongly recommend that unless you have done those processes 2, 3, 4, 5 times in your walk with Father, you should be doing them again. And if you've never done them, you should definitely do them. You don't have the 7 days of grace, but you can do all the rest. 7-day fast, immersion, anointing, and so forth. In all cases, I did those things for the first time in the year 2001, after I'd been walking closely with Father for 8 years. There's absolutely no, and I've done most of them several times since then. As in all that is presented here, what is contained in this teaching is a guide only. Do what you find to do, what Father leads you to do, and what you're willing to do. There's no fixed agenda here. Go with the flow. Ask Father to teach you. Ask Father to guide you, and he will guide you. You just need to step out in emunah, in faith, trust and belief, and just take it a day at a time. It's up to you whether you go at a fast pace or a slow pace. It's entirely your decision. He won't force you. Some of what follows may strike the average Western citizen as strange and even unacceptable. If that is the case for you, I suggest you just park it and move on to the next point. However, if you have got a revelation of the level of your sin, of the desperate fate that awaits you if you do not clean up your act, and the huge reward that awaits for you if you do clean up your act, then I encourage you to go for it full out. Please note, I'm not advocating anything that I've not done myself. To the extent that some of what is presented here is extreme and will attract adverse comment, you may want to back off some of the components. That is up to you. The more you're willing to acknowledge your belief and trust in the Almighty Creator in public, the greater your standing with him will be. That's really important to understand. So much of what happens in the spirit realm is a reflection of how we conduct our lives. So if you do things and say things which encourage the satanic and demonic realm, then you will get closer to them. They will give you their sort of blessing, their sort of, even they have a counterfeit anointing. And you will get closer and closer to them the more you try. And if you put in an effort to get closer to Father, well, then you'll get closer to Father. And as far as I'm concerned, there's no contest. I can't understand why anybody would try and get closer to the satanic realm. You want to eschew the satanic realm. You want to do everything you can to draw close to the Almighty Creator, because there's a huge reward if you do that. So I'm going to talk now about the Ten Commandments. I spoke about them at length about 6 weeks ago. I just want to run through some key points in the context of this teaching on cleansing. So a key element of the process of learning and cleansing, as we've discussed it before, is that you come to understand accurately the Ten Commandments and deal with all components in terms of which you've been violating them. Note that in terms of modern Christian teaching, and I don't know a lot about modern Muslim and Jewish teaching, but I infer probably much the same, the teachings of these religions mask the true interpretation of these commandments, so that nearly all people are breaking nearly all of them most of the time. Following are the headlines. There's more detail in the teachings, as I say, about 6 weeks ago. The overarching commandment is love Yah, the eternally self-existing, your mighty one, with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength, followed by love your neighbor as yourself. And the word there is chesed, which is a much richer, much more diverse word than love. Fundamentally, if you do not believe in the Almighty at a deep level, you're not in the game. You're serving Satan. Note that serving Satan is the default position. You're born without belief in the Almighty, and you're required to take a conscious and strong decision to serve him. Until you do this, you're serving Satan and belong to Satan. I can't stress this enough, folks. If you are living what you might call a good life and you're doing the best you can to treat your neighbors well and be honest at work and not steal, etc., 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 if you do not believe in the Almighty, if you're not putting him first in your life, it's a pretty futile exercise. You are still serving Satan, and you will not be in heaven when you die. Important to note that children under the age of puberty take their standing from their father. So a believing woman married to an unbelieving man causes her children to be unbelievers before they reach the age of majority, until they take a conscious decision themselves. So in other words, if that child dies before the age of majority, it becomes a demon. If the father is a believer, it will go to heaven. Pretty serious stuff. If the father is a believer, they're classified as believers up to the age of majority. It is a major mistake for a believing woman to join herself to an unbelieving man. Once a child passes puberty, if they have not yet believed, then they are unbelievers, even if they were under the covering of their father up to that point. I can't stress this enough. There's so much misunderstanding here. And a lack of awareness on the part of believing parents that they really need to help their children to understand and to be filled with the Spirit. There's so many people today who come from families which are believers, and yet today those people are now adults and they're unbelievers because they were never really enrolled into faith with the Almighty. So let's look at the commandments. The first commandment, Yah, the eternally self-existing, your mighty one, is one mighty one. You shall have no other mighty ones beside him. In other words, do not worship Yeshua or Jesus. Do not worship Muhammad. Do not worship Buddha. Do not worship anyone or anything else. It's that straightforward. And there's a lot of confusion about Yeshua. Second commandment, no idols. Includes not worshipping the Bible. Father says the Bible is the greatest idol on earth today. You should not give the Bible any special praise. It's just a historical book, as I've spoke about a few months ago. We should not worship any artifacts, things like Buddha statues, any idolatrous artifact like a Buddha statue. Is an abomination in the sight of Father. You should not have it in your possession. You should not have it anywhere around where you are. Just complete anathema to Father. Commandment number three, do not take the name of Yah, the eternally self-existing, in vain. That includes not calling Yah God or the Lord. It involves not calling Yeshua Jesus. It involves not having a yahoo.com email address or group, not using the Afrikaans word Yah or the German Jawohl, anything that confuses or contradicts or messes with the name of Yah, the eternally self-existing. Not allowable. Commandment 4, keep the Sabbaths, includes observing the true seventh day, Saturday Sabbath, from sunrise Saturday to sunrise Sunday, observing Passover, Pentecost, the Day of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the first and eighth days of the Feast of Tabernacles. It also includes not observing the satanic feasts of Halloween, Christmas, New Year, Easter, Valentine's Day, etc. Those are all pagan satanic feast days. The Kodesh calendar from Kodesh Books at HTTP, well, just Google Kodesh Books, Q-O-D-E-S-H Books, it's in South Africa. And the website there is a useful source of the dates for these set-apart days. Alternatively, you can use the Jewish dates, which may differ by a day or so. Commandment number 5, honor your parents, includes obedience, not cursing, respect to parents even when they're old, not shutting them up in old age homes and then only visiting them now and again when it suits you, rather having them live with you and so forth. Note that if you curse your mother and father, you will die in time. It takes time. Commandment number 6, no murder, includes not using abortive contraceptives, no abortion, not abolishing the death penalty for murder, and so forth, and not cursing. No adultery includes recognizing that sex with a virgin initiates a lifetime blood covenant, that there's no such thing as sex before marriage, sex is marriage. A man can covenant with many women. Sex with a woman who has a covenant with another man is adultery. It also includes prohibiting sex between men. Commandment number 8, no stealing. This includes the obvious forms of stealing as well as misrepresentation in sales discussions and sales material, overcharging, and so forth. A significant amount of widely accepted commercial practice at some level violates this commandment. So these appear superficially to be quite mundane and quite routine, and a lot of good people will say they comply. But if you look at some of what I've just said, you may find that maybe you're breaking one or more of these. In the life of believers, a widely perpetrated theft relates to teachings in churches that psychologically manipulate believers into giving large sums of money to the church in question based on misappropriation of Bible verses to suggest that the church is the house of God, that old commandments with regard to tithing, the giving of a tenth, relate to the modern church. This might be valid if the church was teaching all truth and actively pointing people towards Yah and not the pastor or priest, but as an almost universal principle, this is not so today. The Christian church overall is in major error and is leading their followers into major error, and demons are rewarding the giving as part of a massive ploy to mislead believers into serving Satan instead of Yah. This ploy is almost entirely successful. I'm under the impression that what I've just said applies in large measure to Judaism, Islam, and other major religions, but I'm not informed of the details there, so I can only comment on a basis of inference. But today, Father is looking for friends. You're not going to become a friend by sitting and warming a seat in a church or a mosque or a synagogue or wherever. You're going to get close to Father by getting on your knees with Him, by worshiping Him, by listening to worship songs day in and day out, by reading books that are really inspired and anointed, and that means you go way beyond the Bible or the Quran or the Torah. As long as you are relying on a human being to lead you and not trusting Father to lead you and praying accordingly, you are not going to get to be His friend. You have to surpass and overtake the human beings that are leading you, and that includes me. You shouldn't see me as the objective. You should see me as a pointer, as a signpost on the road to a close relationship with Yah. I would be very, very blessed if you were to get closer to Yah than I am. Continuing with the Ten Commandments, no false witness or lying. This again has a bearing on advertising and marketing material, as well as a huge bearing on the church, which almost totally peddles lies about the matters of the Almighty. Note that all liars will have a part in the lake of fire and brimstone, in other words, in hell, and that those who believe and act on lies will still be judged and pay the price for sin committed in good faith. So it's no good abdicating responsibility and trusting the pastor or the imam or the rabbi to teach you. You have to get yourself right with Father and get him to tell you what you need to correct. And we've talked at length about directional prayers that you can pray. Commandment number 10, no coveting, no lusting. This is a huge challenge in the world today. Most advertising is directed at getting people to covet things they do not own and cannot afford, or to get them to borrow money to buy things they really cannot afford. Note that if you're in the business of creating such marketing and sales material, you are guilty of breaking this commandment, just as the people you seduce are guilty. These two commandments, no lying and no lusting, are quite subtle in their impact. If you are engaged in the things of the world, it's very, very difficult not to break one or both of those commandments, at least some of the time. And a lot of people break them pretty much all the time. One needs to be careful. If in listening to the previous comments you've realized that you're breaking one or more of the commandments, you may find that initially you're breaking all of them. Pray as follows. Father, I realize that I have been breaking the commandment, and quote the specific commandment, in the following ways. List all the ways you've broken the commandment. I recognize this now as sin, and I repent and ask you to forgive me. I ask you to show me all steps I must take to make right the wrongs I've committed and to bring to my remembrance further instances where I've broken this commandment. Once you have prayed this, you can then pray, in the name of Yeshua, I speak to all demons that are attached to me as a consequence of breaking the commandment. Again, name the commandment. I bind these demons now and command them to leave me now and go where Father Yah sends them. Father, in the name of Yeshua, I ask you to send your mighty warring messengers to bind these demons, cast them out, and send them where you want them to go. This process will get rid of many demons that are oppressing you. Again, it is an iterative process. It's like peeling an onion. You will need to do this repeatedly over time. As you dig deeper, you will find more and more instances where you've broken the commandments. The way I've worded what I've just said, it sounds like you're just going to find that you broke them once or twice. What you are likely to find is that as you become sensitized to this, the list will get longer and longer and longer of all the instances. And as you pray some of the prayers that we've talked about before, you will find that you will find more and more. And we're going to talk in the next week or two on what I call a spiritual audit, and that's to sit down and list every year of your life and list all the sins that you've done wrong, all the people you need to forgive, all the people you need to ask for forgiveness, and work through it in a very systematic manner. And you'll find that you will deal with a huge number of issues over a space of time as Father brings things to your remembrance. I want to talk a bit about other personal demons. The process that I've just talked about of dealing with sin associated with breaking one or more of the Ten Commandments will get rid of many demons that may have attached themselves to you. But there will likely be others remaining, and it is likely that you will need to iterate through the entire cleansing process several times over a period of a year or much longer before you're entirely clean, and depending on how energetically and how diligently you take action. Note that there is no guarantee that you will get free. Very few people get totally free of demons. It takes real perseverance and determination. Other demons belong to specific principalities such as pride, fear, lust, confusion, mind-blinding spirits, etc. There are also demons which gain their legal right through long-term bloodline curses going back many generations, and I spoke about an example of that a month or so ago. Others are identified by their individual names, so you could be shown by Father that the name of a demon is almost anything under the sun. Do not be thrown by this. Simply speak to the demon as set out here. If Father gives you an obscure-sounding name, do not concern yourself with the details. Simply speak to the demon by that name, as with all other demons. During my journey, I received ministry from a highly anointed prophetic believer, and she was shown demons that had been following my bloodline for thousands of years with a specific assignment to attack me. And it's a complex subject. Turn to Father to show you the names of specific demons or their job descriptions and deal with them as you become aware of them by repenting of whatever sins are applicable and then binding the demon by name and commanding it to leave using your delegated authority through the covenant of Yeshua. Thus, Father, I confess my sin of, name the sin, and repent and ask you to forgive me. I speak to the demons associated with, again, name the sin, lust, lying, theft, whatever. In the name of Yeshua, I bind you now and command you to leave and go where Father Yah sends you. Father, in the name of Yeshua, I ask you to please send your mighty warring messengers to bind, cast out, and send where you want to go those demons or that demon that I've just named. If you're battling to get free, you can ask Father to refer you to a specialist in deliverance. But in this age, they are few and far between, and you may well have to battle on single-handed to get free. Remember that Father wants you free, so he will help you, and ultimately, he knows exactly what is oppressing you. He knows exactly how to get rid of it. The challenge is for you to get close enough to him that he can communicate to you what you need to do, what you need to pray, what you need to say, and so forth. All of this takes time. I hold that if you took everything in this document that, or this series of teachings right through to the end, seven components of drawing close to Yah, I hold that if you took this in the companion document on relationship with Yah and worked through them repeatedly and applied them consistently and rigorously and thoroughly and with intensity for a period of 2 years, by the end of 2 years, you would get to a point where there would be a strong probability that Father would call you his friend and you would have a deep personal relationship with him. I can't guarantee that. I just have a feeling that that's what it would look like. Obviously, if you make less effort, it's not going to happen so quickly, or it may not happen at all. So being led by Father is not such an issue as it might sound to you. You have Father to guide you, and as you gain experience and confidence, that you will find that it is not so difficult to get rid of demons. The key piece is that you must deal with the sin that gives the demon the right to be there, and then it has to leave. But you do have to tell it to leave. So focus on cleaning up your life, and the deliverance will follow quite easily. With regard to bloodline curses, the sin is not yours. The assignment was made in previous generations, and the associated demon or demons have passed from father to child or mother to child, generation by generation. Once you're moderately close to Father, ask him to show you bloodline curses that exist and how to deal with them. Generally, they must be spoken to by name, and the names can be complicated and obscure. Bloodline curses can also be recognized by recurring patterns of evil in a bloodline. For example, the firstborn is killed in an accident just before they turn 21 or some other very specific pattern. One of the things that I do if I'm talking to somebody and they start sharing about things that have gone wrong in their lives, in South Africa, death of a firstborn around the age of 21 is quite common, associated with a witch doctor curse, recurring illness, all sorts of things. If somebody starts talking about a repetitive pattern of things going wrong in their family, it's almost certainly related to bloodline curses. We've spoken about the mark of the beast before, and I just want to touch on it again from a slightly different angle. The mark of the beast is widely spoken of and widely misunderstood. It is a spiritual mark that is not visible to the eyes of living human beings, with the exception of a few with a gift of sight in the spiritual realm. The mark of the beast is not a microchip, notwithstanding numerous allegedly prophetic messages about the microchip. The mark of the beast is a spiritual mark that is given the moment that any person breaks any of the Ten Commandments, such that the forces of darkness will obstruct any person from buying or selling if they're without sin, thus making it very difficult for truly committed believers to make a living, except through exceptional exercise of faith, emuna, trust and belief, and in the case of married couples, through deep harmony in addition. Single women should turn to Father as their husband and provider. Note that you will still have to work. So I regularly find myself with people taking issue with me about this thing of the mark of the beast. Folks, the microchip just can't be it. This is something that has to be available to every human being simultaneously in the same generation, at the same time around the world, and it has to work irrespective. The microchip requires a sophisticated reader, it's sophisticated technology, it requires government dictate for it to be applied. There is no ways that you're going to be able to put a microchip in every single human being on the planet. And I just ask you to see it's just not so. The Bible is talking about spiritual things. The fact that they have physical manifestations does not alter the fact that the mark of the beast has to be a spiritual mark. It cannot be a physical thing like a microchip. So we're going to move on now to cleansing your dwelling. It does not help you to cleanse your body, your mind, and your spirit if you do not cleanse your environment. Any artifact that has satanic significance in your dwelling gives demons a legal right to take up residence in your home or workplace and influence you and your family and others in the affected space. Any act in the dwelling or workplace by previous occupants that brought demons in and left them there will provide demons to interfere with the course of action that you've chosen in terms of drawing close to Father. These demons will shout at you in the spirit realm from the bookcases, the pictures, the beds, the walls, the floor, wherever they are situated, and they will do their best to lead you into sin and drown out the voice of the Almighty. It is vital that you get rid of them, and in the event that they are so deeply entrenched in your dwelling that you cannot get rid of them, you may have to move out. Remember that a demon is simply a disembodied human spirit. It's an ancestor spirit. It has no motive power. It has to get a ride on a human being or an animal, or else on a satanic messenger angel. But they're in short supply. There's about 100 billion demons, and there's a lot fewer satanic messengers. And the satanic messengers are primarily taken up with serving the higher order demons. Added to which, a whole lot of satanic messengers are keeping an eye on believers, tracking when they sin. So if a demon gets dislodged from a human being in a house because they're doing something, and it's just going to sit there and stand there, whatever demons do when they can't move. And it's going to try and hitch a ride on somebody else, but there's got to be a legal basis for it to do that. So it's really quite a messy situation, and you certainly don't want to be a demon. So if you're an unbeliever or you're not sure if you're a believer, now's the time to change your mind. Continuing with cleansing your dwelling, there are broadly three categories of demons in question here. Firstly, demons that came in with artifacts. If before you reach this point, you or someone in your house brought in artifacts that have demons assigned to them, those demons will be in your home. These artifacts include books on mythology, the gods of foreign lands, tribal masks, totems, Buddha statuettes, other idolatrous statuettes, pornography, nude statues, artworks, sexually explicit books, articles, etc., etc., etc. books and articles relating to the occult, the demonic, satanic, Wicca, witchcraft, Satanism, pictures and works of art relating to pagan temples, pagan symbols, documents and symbols associated with secret societies that have satanic associations like the Freemasons, etc., with blood oaths, crosses and crucifixes. Remember that Yeshua died on a stake, a length of tree trunk, not a cross. The cross is a form of Ankh, a pornographic pagan symbol representing a woman with her legs spread, penetrated by a penis. Also, Christmas decorations, Christmas trees, Easter decorations, Valentine's decorations, Halloween decorations, all of these things are an abomination in the sight of Yah, and all of them give demons a right to be in your dwelling and to influence you. Shortly after I started really serving Father, we were still had a Christmas tree. Father had said to me that we shouldn't really observe Christmas. I'd been disobedient because of my children. And we were praying one night in the lounge, and my son suddenly piped up and said, "Daddy, that troll on the Christmas tree is looking at me." And sure enough, there was a demon in the troll. So we took all of it outside and burnt the lot. And you may think that's radical. Well, if you want to serve Father in this life, frankly, I think you have to be a bit radical. Second category of demons, those left behind accidentally or intentionally by previous occupants. For example, in a room used for an orgy, one or more demons of lust dislodged during athletic sexual coupling and left stranded in the room, or demons deliberately planted by Satan's servants who occupied the premises or when visiting. The third category, demons associated with artifacts embedded in the foundations, the walls, the ceiling, or elsewhere on the premises, and associated with curses, hexes, or other satanic or witchcraft assignments, and demons associated with blood from human sacrifices that are seeped into the materials of the building. These three categories of demons require different treatment, and we'll talk more about that next week. Really important to understand these things. Talking more about embedded artifacts, in terms of the third category, those associated with embedded artifacts, it will be necessary to locate and remove the artifacts and cut off the curses, assignments, and cast out the demons. This can be a major activity and requires a very highly tuned level of spiritual discernment and guidance by Father to deal with. As a general rule, you would be better to leave and find somewhere else to live or work. In terms of the second category, demons that just find themselves there by accident or by limited assignment, all that is required is to determine from Father what the legal right is that allows them to be there, if any, and tell them to get out and send the messengers to take them out. If they are not there in association with some embedded artifact, simply pray, "In the name of Yeshua, I speak to the demon or demons of whatever Father shows you in this room. I bind you and I command you to leave now and go where Father Yah sends you. Father, in the name of Yeshua, I ask you to send your mighty warring messengers to bind, cast out, and send where you want to go the demons that I've just named. In the event that any of these demons have a legal right to be here, I ask you to reveal that right now and how to cancel it. I ask you to cover this room, the walls, the floor, the ceiling, the doors, the windows, the window frames, the doorposts, and the lintels with the blood of the covenant. Amen." Then take some red grape juice or red wine, pray over it to represent the blood of the covenant, and apply it to the doorposts and lintels of every room, as well as to the window frames, the vertical posts and the lintels of every opening window. Pray, "Father, as I apply the blood of the covenant to this, name the item. I ask you to drive out all demons and satanic messengers that have no right to be here, and to cover the entire room with the blood, including the floors, the walls, the ceilings, the doors, windows, window frames, the doorposts, and the lintels." This is relatively straightforward. The worst that can happen is that they do not all leave first time, and you have to pray again later, having first taken time to go before Father and seek guidance as to why they did not go the first time. Note that there is no point in praying the same prayer repetitively. You need to add new knowledge before you pray again. Otherwise, you just make a fool of yourself in front of the demons, and they will be harder to remove later and may call in reinforcements. You can and should pray to apply the blood of the covenant to your dwelling inside and out on a regular basis, anointing the doorposts and lintels and window frames and lintels with grape juice or wine to represent the blood of the covenant as you do this. Note that you must have a door or window open when you cast out demons. They cannot pass through solid matter. So to recap, we've looked at the Ten Commandments as defining the basis of sin, and we've looked briefly at all the commandments. We've looked at how repenting of sin opens the door to getting rid of demons, and we've looked at other personal demons that you may need to get rid of. We've looked at the mark of the beast and said that the mark of the beast is a spiritual mark, not a microchip. And we've started to discuss cleansing your dwelling, with more to follow next week. If you truly want to draw close to Father, it is vital that you get free of demons, both on your person and in your dwelling. As you gain experience with this, you'll realize it's not that difficult once you have a clear understanding that the critical thing is to deal with the sin that gives the demon the legal right to be there. Once you've dealt with the legal rights, it's very easy to tell them to go. Conversely, even if you don't tell them to go, once you've dealt with the legal right, there's very little they can do in their life. I shared a month or two ago about a situation where I had picked up a whole lot of demons, but they weren't able to touch me because I was living above sin. Fundamentally, a key part of serving Father is to live a life free of sin. And our society today will tell you that that's impossible or very difficult. When I first realized this and wrote about it, I had various people challenging me. But I now know with absolute certainty that it's an absolute requirement. If you want to get close to Father, deal with your sin. To the extent that you have sin in your life, you are a servant of Satan. Father cannot draw close to you. So on the main menu on the website, five key documents. The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you near the bottom of the menu. Seven components in drawing close to the Creator, also near the bottom of the menu. This broadcast is taken from that document. Recommended worship near the bottom. The Creator's name is Yah, the eternally self-existing, at the top of the menu. Where will you spend eternity? What is required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity? That's near the bottom of the menu. All of this is available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are also available on the radio page, and they're all available on the relationshipwithcreator.com page. That's relationshipwithcreator.com. Click on the show and then podcasts, and you'll get all the back issues of the broadcasts. Books constituting a compilation of most of my writings and publications published since 1998 are available near the bottom of the menu in the compilation of most writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email me at james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the mailing list or to seek counsel or prayer or to give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search article keyword cloud table of contents and article search to locate the information you're looking for. There's a huge amount of information on that that website. There's about 7,500 pages of text on close to 1,000 different topics. So in closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them in the next broadcast. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and we can connect by Skype, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. I hope that in listening to this, you have thought through the possibility that you could have a closer relationship with Father. I hope also that with this current series, with cleansing, that you realize that there's a lot to be done to get into right standing with Father. And I hope that will help you to understand why conventional religion is so decrepit and so dysfunctional and so ineffective. Unless you go through a strict cleansing process, unless you deal with your demons, etc., you cannot really get close to Father. You really cannot fight the satanic and demonic realm. You really cannot be effective. And you certainly will not get to be a friend. It's so important. Clean up your act. And in doing that, just recognize that the people around you who potentially offended you because of their religious attitude, it's just because they don't know the truth. They don't know that how to get free. They don't know that they need to get free. Maybe you can share this with them. I hope to hear from you soon. And I encourage you to make a friend of Father. Good night.
Father, I come to you, lifting up my hands. By your grace I stand. Just